Thanks, Sean.
All right.
We will call the House Resource Committee to order at 1:23, I'll call it, p.m. We're in room 124. Today's Monday, April the 11th, 2016. Our members present are Representative Johnson, Representative Josephson, Representative Herron, Representative Tarr, Representative Olson, Speaker Chenault, my co-chair, Representative Nagiak, and I'm co-chair Tallarico. Representative Hawker is excused today, and I believe Representative Seaton will be along here shortly. So I'd like to let the record reflect that we do have a quorum to conduct business, and I'd also like to recognize our staff. Our secretary is Julie Kohler. Our teleconference aide is Matt Curran. Thank you both for being here today. My committee aide is Julie Morris, right up here in the corner. And I guess Gary, maybe Gary's not here. Oh, Gary Zepp is Representative Nagiak's committee aide. Gary's here to help us out, too, today. So I just want to remind everyone, please turn your cell phones off or put them on silent today. And we are taking up today Senate Bill 170, which has some DNR fees. We have the bill sponsor and staff here, so if you would please come forward and state your name for the record and give us a description, that would be great. Thank you for being here today.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, I'm Senator Kathy Giesel, representing Senate District and Metz Districts 27 and 28. Senate Bill 170 relates to the Geologic Materials Center in Anchorage. So I think probably many of you, being Resource Committee folks, know about the Geologic Materials Center. It was previously located in Eagle River. And the core samples, which are given to us voluntarily by some companies, Corps of Engineers, BOEM, various federal agencies, as well as other state entities, give us core from either oil and gas exploration projects or mining. And so these cores are like books. You and I go to the library and we read a book. Geologists can go to a geologic materials center and read these rocks as if they were books. And it gives them information that can lead to future discoveries of our resources, Mr. Chairman. So these were previously located in Eagle River in connexes, which you may know are unheated, unlit, metal boxes, frankly. They were out in the weather. The cores were deteriorating. So a few years ago, the Sam's Club in Anchorage closed over on the east side, and it was made available to the state at an incredible price from the Walmart Corporation. So the Department of Natural Resources purchased the building and has reconfigured it, and that's where the cores are now. There are viewing rooms in the facility where companies or explorers can come and view these rocks. What the Department of Natural Resources, Division of Geologic and Geophysical Surveys would like to do is charge folks to come and look at our samples. And so that's what this bill enables them to do. They found out when they got to the point of saying, okay, so what should we charge? Oops, we can't do it without a statute change. The ability to receive the receipts. And so that's what this bill is designed to do. I believe Mr. Steve Masterman is online. He is our state geologist. He can give you much more details about it. My staff, Ike Geolopsis, is here to take you through the rest of the bill because I have a 1:30 committee meeting, Mr. Chairman. Thank you so much for hearing the bill.
Thank you, Senator. We do appreciate your time today. Thank you. Mr. Geolopsis.
Good afternoon, Mr. Co-Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Ike Geolopsis, and I'm staff to Senator Giesel, the sponsor of the legislation, and also a season ticket holder to the House Resources Committee room. With your permission, Mr. Co-Chair, I will go over the sectional analysis and answer whatever questions are within my capacity to do so, noting that the state geologist, Dr. Masterman, is kind enough to be online. Section 1, Mr. Co-Chair, would create the subaccount for receipt authority under Alaska Statute 4108045, and that would be pursuant to the effective language in Section 3, which is the heart of the bill. Section 2 would be conforming language. In existing statute, the division can charge for the purchase of maps and certain materials, but those go directly into the general fund, since eventually these proceeds would go into the receipt authority account. That section deletes to conform with Section 3. Section 3, Mr. Co-Chair, is the part of the bill, and it creates the new Section 4108 in the title for the Division of Geological and Geophysical Surveys, empowering the division to enable a fee structure. It was also in this section, Mr. Co-Chair, that the committee substitute was created pursuant to an amendment offered by Senator Rilikowski with the unanimous support of the committee to explicitly waive fees for any student who would utilize those facilities for educational purposes. Section 4 of the bill, Mr. Chairman, would amend the uncodified law and permit the department to adopt regulations to conform with Section 3 of the bill. And Section 5 would make Section 4 the ability to make those promulgation of regulations effective immediately. And the final section, Mr. Co-Chair, Section 6, would make this act effective July 1st of this year.
Thank you. Any questions from the committee? Representative Herring.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Steve Masterman did come by the office and explain the purpose and intent. And I just, for the record, I'd like Steve to put on the record what is going to be the life expectancy of this facility when it reaches full capacity.
Okay. Mr. Masterman, if you're there online, if you could identify yourself for the record, and if you heard that question, maybe you could provide an answer for us.
Yes, for the record, my name is Stephen Masterman. I am the director of the Division of Geological and Geophysical Surveys, and I'm calling to you from Fairbanks today, where it's a beautiful sunny day. And through the co-chairs, if I understand the question correctly, it's what is the life expectancy of the facility? When we moved into the facility, we were about a third full. So about a third of the available shelf space was filled with the collection that we had out in Eagle River. And since then, we have received quite a few donations from the USGS, their entire collection, and a big donation from BP, and another one from ConocoPhillips, and several sizable but smaller donations from mining companies. And right now, we just are about 42-43% full, I think. So we have a substantial amount of space left. It looks like at our current rate, I would estimate maybe a decade's worth of space left in the facility before we need to add more shelves or consider expanding.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Does that answer the question?
It certainly does. Thank you. Are there any other questions for Mr. Masterman or for the sponsor? Representative Johnson.
Thank you. The bill states... thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, I guess basically the question is, what's it going to cost to actually go in and view the core samples? I mean, do we have a price scale yet? Or because it's similar to other facilities, I don't know what we have similar. But can you tell me what it's going to cost for somebody to go in and look at it? Has that even been discussed yet?
For the record, Ike Galopso, staff to Senator Giesel, Mr. Co-Chair, Representative Johnson. Dr. Masterman has discussed the institution of a fee structure to be within the medium of other facilities in North America, and he would be better qualified to explain that in detail.
Dr. Masterman, did you hear that?
Yes, I did. Thank you. And through the co-chairs, yes, as Mr. Ganopoulos said, we have reviewed the fee structures from the other facilities around the nation that charge for these kinds of services, and there are 10 facilities that are either close to or bigger than ours, and of those, once we are charging fees, 9 will be charging fees out of the 10. And so we have obtained those fee schedules, and we are pricing ours to be in the midpoint, I guess I would say. We want to make the fees generate revenue, but we don't want to detract from people coming in and using the facility. So we're cognizant of having realistic fees.
Okay. Follow up.
Is there a specific number, or is that something you can't share yet? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, through the co-chairs, we have a draft fee schedule prepared, and that has to be reviewed by the commissioner's office and then also the Department of Law, and then go out for public comment before we promulgate regulations. We did put an example, I think, in the materials that were provided with the bill. I'm not sure if that is in your packet or not, but there was an example there where we looked at somebody coming in and pulling a collection of core boxes off the shelves and requesting some samples be taken from those, and I think the price per hour our facility was $250, and that was kind of at the lower end of the price range for the other facilities nationally.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Any other questions? Representative Tarr.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm just wondering, it sounds like some of the donations are coming from the same companies that might come in to use the materials later. And are we expecting any pushback if they're donating some of those samples and then they're going to have to pay to see them later?
For the record, Ike Gilopsis, staff to Senator Geisel, Mr. Co-Chair, Representative Tarr. Dr. Masterman can explain further, but Senator Geisel's understanding in talking both to the stakeholder groups that would be utilizing this facility as well as to the division was that it is the norm to pay fees, and just because they are donated does not exempt the donor from being able to actually pay the full fee structure. In fact, Dr. Masterman can relate a adverse outcome where this actually would prevent a person from being charged to actually donate. It's an interesting concept.
Dr. Masterman, do you have a comment?
Through the co-chairs, I think that answer pretty well explains it. We are not charging for people to donate the materials, but if companies wish to store their samples at our facility, we will accept them, obviously, and charge them to view them. Alternatively, they can have their own facilities and maintain these samples in a confidential and private manner, but obviously then they have to foot the bill for their own facility to maintain it and support it. So I think that there's substantial advantage to industry to house these materials in this facility.
Thank you. Any other questions for either Dr. Masterman or the sponsor? Seeing none, Dr. Masterman, thank you very much. We appreciate your time today. Mr. Gilopsis, we also appreciate your time as well. I guess you'll probably hang around until we get finished. Thank you. Thank you very much. So seeing no other questions, I'm going to open public testimony. And I don't see anyone online. We don't have anyone testify online. We also don't have anyone signed up in the room. Is there anyone who would like to testify? Well, seeing none, I will close public testimony. And we will go to committee comments. Any comments from the committee at all? Mr. Speaker, please.
Mr. Chairman, I have a couple questions maybe about the fiscal note that's involved. They talk about a public building fund. Could you maybe explain that a little? Could someone maybe explain that a little bit better? My estimates are looking at... looking at their estimates, they're looking at some point in time, it's $400,000 to allow the facility to enter into the public building fund. So could we talk about that a little bit?
Certainly. Ike?
Mr. Co-Chairman, for the record, Ike Gilopsis, staff to Senator Geisel. Mr. Chairman, Mr. Speaker, Dr. Masterman would be the person I would defer to for that response.
Okay, thank you. Dr. Masterman, did you hear the question?
I did, and thank you for it. It's a good question. Through the co-chairs, our plan has been to enter the Public Building Fund, which is a fund that provides for the long-term maintenance and operation of a facility like this, so that in the case of substantial repairs, such as replacing the roof or replacing the furnace, items that would not really fall within our capacity under our operating budget to pay for them, that they would be handled by the Public Building Fund and amortized over the life of the improvement or the maintenance item. And as such, at the moment, we cannot afford to enter the Public Building Fund because our operating budget does not allow it, and that's why we are proposing this fee schedule to generate the revenue that will provide for the long-term maintenance and operation of the facility. If we do not go in and the roof needs to be replaced, or like I say, we have another large maintenance item, then we would have to come to the legislature to request funding for those items, and this just provides us a mechanism to maintain the building over the long term. Does that answer the question?
Mr. Speaker.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. And Mr. Chairman, just another question. I don't believe it's a typo, but there were some questions asked by, I don't know who, probably in other committees, Mr. Chairman, but talks about the operations of the GMC compared to other facilities. Says that there are 10 facilities over 25,000 square feet, and is the next part of that correct, that our GMC is 100,000 square feet?
Through the co-chair, that is correct. The interior space is 100,000 square feet. It is quite a large facility, one of the, probably one of the largest in the nation.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments? Representative Carr.
I thought Representative Olson had a comment earlier. Oh, I was just going to say that this facility is in my district, and it's been a great addition. It's not a big, empty box store, and there's full-time employees frequenting the local businesses for lunch, so we appreciate having them and hope it continues to be a successful endeavor.
Thank you. Any other comments? Mr. Co-Chair, I would entertain a motion.
Mr. Chair, I make a motion to move committee substitute for Senate Bill 170 Resources version 29-LS1400/W in committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. There's been a motion made to move committee substitute for Senate Bill 170. Is there any objection? Seeing none, the bill moves. Thank you very much. Thank you for being here today. We appreciate it. And actually, we have nothing else on our calendar today, so we're going to adjourn the meeting. Before I adjourn, just stick around long enough to sign the paperwork, please. And we will be adjourned at 1:40.